like the sound of that. Okay, I'm going to begin with a question today. If life were a race, which of the following athletes best depicts you? Could I have those lights off, please? Thank you, Joel.
Είναι σαν να πήρε μαζί τρία χρυσά μετάλλια. Γιατί για τους Ολυμπιακούς Αγώνες το ξέρουμε καλά, το ξέρετε και εσείς, έχει σημασία η συμμετοχή. Φτάνει στο τέλος, ακόμα ένα-δύο βήματα. Φτάνει και πέφτει. Την πιάνουν μια μεγάλη στιγμή το αθλητισμό. Το χωρίο είναι δίπλα για να βιτάρει. Ο άνθρωπος νίκησε τα 42.
Gets up quickly, but that's going to cost her. Lucky she wasn't injured.
Her teammate just went to the front, though, so they may be able to recover from that. And Dorrodin is flying down the backstretch.
She is catching up.
She is going to catch Fondor, and she may catch the leader.
Wow.
She's got Fond.
This is a gutsy effort by Dorrodin. Can't you pull it off? She's moving to third. Dorrodin coming down the stretch from the outside. Dorrodin coming on strong. Dorrodin all the way.
That is amazing. To fall in a 600, I mean, this is basically a sprint. I mean, this is an extended 400, basically. To fall with 200 meters to go and get up and win, that is unbelievable.
Curve we go. We got Kingwood pushing it up front. Manville coming from second place.
Howard Fields, here he goes. The sophomore from Manville. Can he do it?
Close. It's going to be close.
Fields leading across the man from Kingwood, giving up his body was DeWitt Thompson. Will it be enough? We will have to go to the camera. A photo finish in every sense of the word here. What a finish it was between Manville and Humble Kingwood. And unofficially it is the Mustangs of Humble Kingwood. Manville coming in second. So we take another look at the finish here.
Now, Kingwood's got a pretty good lead right there. But then here comes Duncanville, here comes Manville.
Watch how they finish it in slow motion.
Straight away, Manville gets another gear. He starts pulling up. Can I get him?
DeWitt Thomas doing everything he can to hold on. Thomas gasping for air. There is Manville's Fields. Thomas diving across the finish line. What a great.
They dive over.
And there the torso is the torso, the head actually, of Thomas, the neck, as he leans forward just ahead of the Manville Maverick. This race is under
the blocks as they run the turn. It is both passing the grass, coming to the straightaway. Edmold is in front, and the fans applauding his every stride. Here he comes in the final meter, starting to look around. The grass right there with him as they cross.
And again, you'll see this one again.
The grass to friends looking at each other. I remember doing this with Frankie Fredericks back in the day. Look at these two. It's almost like a training run somewhere in Kingston.
This was something as they came down and straight away looking at each other and smiling at each other.
Είναι το μεγαλείο του αθλητισμού.
Okay, thank you. Did you like those? I love Usain Bolt. He does it with style, doesn't he? Well, believe it or not, according to Scripture, the Christian life is indeed a race. So how are you running yours? Do you think you will finish well? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. We've got it up here. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets a prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that this sermon will be a tough training session that equips us to run the course you have set for us. Help us to grasp and use the knowledge and wisdom you have supplied for us to be the best runners. And Lord, as we run, we give you the glory and the honor because you are our prize. Amen. Obviously, Paul, the Apostle Paul, in the scriptures we've just read, was comparing Christians with the athletes who competed in the Greek games at that time, around 2,000 years ago. Of course, we know the ancient Greek games were the inspiration for our modern Olympics. Now, the word gymnast originally meant a person who was naked, bare or exposed. This is because the athletes in the ancient Greek games would compete without clothes. Many of the Jews in the New Testament time used to boycott the games because they didn't want to see men running around and jumping obstacles naked. And to be quite frank, I don't blame them one little bit, do you? However, Paul saw something in these athletes that mirrored particular attributes that Christians must take hold of if they are to run successfully the race which God has set for us. Now, just for today, I want to emphasize 4 points. Now, that's much better than 10, isn't it? 4 points we need to remember and apply as Christians if we want to be good spiritual runners. Do you want to win your race or not? Do you want to run your race with style? Do you want to be an example to others in showing them how to run the race? Do you want to finish your race like Usain Bolt laughing as he crosses the line? Yeah, he was competing against the fastest men in the world and would have been pushing his body to its limit, and yet he's laughing. He's having a great time. That's how I want to run, people. That's how I want to finish my life. Apparently, he was saying to the Canadian runner who was catching up with him, "What are you doing?" Like that. They were having a conversation. The fact that they could actually speak when they were running so fast is amazing, isn't it? Yep, I definitely want to run and finish like that. Okay, so what running tips does the Apostle Paul share in the Word? How many did I say there was? 4. He says, "Do you not know that in a race, All the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Why do athletes run in the Olympics? Why? To lose weight? No. To get fit? No. To be on telly? No. They compete in the Olympics to win a shiny medal, preferably a gold one. Is that not true? At some point in the life of the Olympian, they become determined that they are going to bring home a medal. They're determined they're going to win. Number one, runners have determination. Everyone say determination. Determination. Their attitude is, I'm going to run this race and I'm going to win this race no matter what it takes. I'm prepared to pay the cost to win. Christians, in our spiritual walk, we need this same determination, this same mindset, this same resolve. The minute we gave our lives to the Lord, He automatically set a new course for us. We were heading that way. But God has changed the course to the opposite direction. The old course was very broad and very easy to run, but the new course is narrow and takes a good deal of discipline and hard work. Unfortunately, most people in the world choose the broad course, but there's no prize at the end of that one. It's not a good finish. Despite what people might say out there, you don't want to finish that one. There's no reward, no celebration at the end of that one. We have to run this new course, this new narrow course, with the same determination as a professional runner, because we're going to be winners. Actually, we're not just going to be winners. We are winners the moment we started the course, because our coach is victorious and he doesn't lose. He trains only winners. That's good news, isn't it? When you get saved, it isn't a matter of, oh, I think I'll give Christianity a shot. No. When salvation enters our heart, it means we are going to live our lives so that it will be pleasing to God. We're going to do it the coach's way. This takes determination. This takes a particular strong mindset. And everything we do in life should be a reflection of the belief we hold in our hearts. And by the way, if you are determined, then you can't run the race in secret. When an athlete trains for the Olympics, all their family, friends, everyone is aware of what is going on because of the athlete's determination. The athlete's determination is evident to the world around them. Why? Because it's a life commitment. Christians, is it evident to those around you that you've changed your course to a new one set by God? If it isn't, then there's something wrong with your determination. Determination is a resolve of commitment. In 2010, I became determined to become the fittest I can be in the physical sense for the rest of my life. So I began by training at the gym 5 to 6 times a week. On occasions at the gym, I couldn't help but be intrigued by my observations of a few other women in training. Some women would pay their gym fees, that's why they're there, have their kids babysat, buy all the right Lorna Jane clothes to wear, which cost an arm and a leg, but I noticed that when they got into the gym, they'd barely move. They'd sit at a piece of strength training equipment, which I might want to use, and talk on their phone for half an hour. Then they'd get on a treadmill and walk for 5 minutes at the slowest pace possible. I mean, they'd push their shopping trolleys faster than what they were moving on the treadmill. Their pace didn't work up the slightest drop of sweat. And I just wanted to say, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money if you're not going to put in some determination. Wanting something is not enough. You have to be determined. Wanting something is not enough. You have to be determined. We need to live our Christian life with determination so we are assured of winning the prizes along the way as well as the great one at the end. Yeah? Okay, that's number one. That wasn't too long, was it? What is number one?
Determination.
Well done. Further on in the scripture, it states, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. If a runner desires to win a medal, they must go into strict training. In other words, they must have discipline. Bit of a dirty word, that one, isn't it? Discipline. Number two, discipline. No matter how good an athlete is, they still have to train and discipline themselves if they are going to win the prize, correct? Despite the fact that Usain has a natural talent for running, I think he can run like 27 kilometres an hour. That's incredible. He also must discipline himself to reach Olympic gold, correct? Because that other guy that was running against him looked pretty fast to me. You may have been a Christian for a long time. You may even be a very nice person, and the Lord may have gifted you with many wonderful spiritual gifts. But if you're not disciplined, then you're not running anywhere near as well as you could be. And the truth is, you're at risk of failing. I believe God calls us to be the best we can be for Him. Amen. Discipline brings out the best in us. I was thinking about this the other day when I was sweating it out doing a 10-kilometer run. We as human beings naturally resist any form of discipline. Why? Because discipline takes effort. It hurts. It takes us out of our comfort zone. It doesn't fit into what we naturally want to do. But the truth is, every discipline which is required from us as Christians has incredible spiritual, physical, and emotional everlasting benefits for us. Jesus is truly worth the discipline. What discipline, you may ask, and I'm so glad you asked. The discipline of reading His Word every day. This is our food. It's not junk food. Facebook can be junk food. Social media can be junk food. Television can be junk food. The radio can be junk food. This is your healthiest spiritual food to consume. Amen? Amen. Then there's the discipline of spending time to talk to the great coach and allowing His Holy Spirit to speak to us. The best runners have the best coaches. We have the best coach in the whole wide world. So talk to Him and, more importantly, listen. And there's the discipline of fellowshipping with other runners. We need to pace ourselves with each other. We need to encourage each other, edify, lift each other up, sing together, pray together. You know, I prefer praying with a group of people than I prefer praying on my own. I prefer singing with a group of people than I prefer singing on my own. There's just something about it. And I think I said this a couple of weeks ago. They even did a test on one of the shows on ABC, and it showed that when church singers get together and sing together, scientific tests have shown that their oxytocin levels go up. That means they feel great when they sing together. This is really good for you, being in church, singing together. Take a look around you at all the runners sitting here today. There's a few runners. Have a look at the person near you. There's some runners on your row. I know it. They're out there. There's runners. Christian runners. Spiritual runners. We need to learn from each other. I was giving John Brand some tips the other day, wasn't I? Because you hurt a ligament or something when you were running. And I said to him, old age, yeah. I said, you need to reduce your stride. So, because he likes the long distance running thing. We share tips. In the same way, we share more tips spiritually. That's what we need, each other, people. Don't neglect the gathering of the saints. We need the Holy Spirit to talk to each other through each other. I see the great coach in you, and you see the great coach in me. Let's keep it that way. Before I move on to the next point, here's a little tip to help you in the area of discipline. I personally noticed when I first set out to run that I needed to train using little goals for myself. I'd say to myself, Pamela, because that's my name, just run for a minute today, and I'd do it. It almost killed me when I first did that, but I did it. As I got fitter, my hope and faith in my ability extended, but I still run with hope goals. Now I say, Pamela, just run 1 kilometre, and I run it. I go, you can squeeze out another kilometre. So I do another one, and then another one, and then another one, and before I know it, I've done 10 kilometres. But I've been setting little goals all along the way. What was that, Diana?
What you do every day.
No, I only did it twice this week. It's normally 5Ks, but 10 sounds much better, okay? Goal setting. That's my daughter, by the way. She's making fun of me right now. The Lord bless you, Diana. Oh, that was Bree. Yeah, okay, I'll chat with you later. Goal setting is really important because you can lose hope in your ability to continue because it's all too much. I used to say to my gym trainer who'd push me to my limits, give me hope, Jess. How many more do I have to pump before you let me finish? Because I wanted to give up. But then she'd say, just 4 more, Pamela, just 4 more. And I'd say, I can do that. So I'd pump 4 more and then she'd go, 1 more. If you're new in faith or you're spiritually struggling, give yourself small spiritual goals. You might find it hard to sit for half an hour to read your Bible. Well, start with 5 minutes a day and stick with it. We can all do 5 minutes. You might find it difficult to pray for hours on end, but give yourselves 5 minutes a day and stick to it. And you will find that if you're determined and disciplined, before you know it, you're spiritually growing. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Reading on into the next scripture, because we're going on to the next point. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Just like a runner needs to make sure they're not carrying more than they should, we too, number three, need to lay aside every encumbrance. Every encumbrance. A runner can't compete against other world champions in an overcoat. It just doesn't happen. And you don't see Porky people running in the Olympics, do you? You don't. The gymnasts used to be naked and slim for a reason. They got rid of all encumbrances, and even today they wear the sleekest of outfits to cut down on all possible friction that would slow them down. True? Christians, we can't run effectively carrying a whole load of garbage. I'm sorry, but this causes spiritual friction, and eventually you will get too tired and stop altogether. I'm talking bad attitudes, unforgiveness, jealousy, sinful lusts, greed, nasty habits, selfishness, anger, lack of self-control, self-pity, self-centeredness, laziness. All these things will weigh us down, and some will even stop us. I know people who today are not in the race anymore because they became entangled in sin and they didn't deal with it. Don't let this be you. Sin stinks. Get rid of it. Stop it. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Are you listening, church? Don't give the devil an opportunity. Get rid of the sin as you run. It's not okay to get used to running with sin. Our course was changed at the point of repentance. Repentance means I'm sorry for what I did and I'm not going to do it again. So deal with the baggage. Do it the coach's way. His way is the best. Don't be encumbered. And lastly, the scripture tells us to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Runners need, number four, endurance. For most of us, our lives are like a marathon race, not a sprint, yeah? Those two ladies that we saw at the beginning there, they were in a marathon. Marathon runners endure extreme discomfort. We saw that on the video clips. You know, I think she was a Nigerian lady. She actually was winning, and it was in the last 100 metres that her body just gave out. She couldn't control her muscles anymore, and she ended up on the floor crawling to the finish line while everybody else passed her. And the other lady, who's seen that first clip of the other lady before? That's a very popular one. She was in the first female Olympic marathon, which is around 1984-85, and she missed the last water spray. She missed it, so her body's temperature started to go up and her muscles began to spasm. So although she was there in her mind, her muscles weren't. So she needed to make it to the finish line. The doctor was on the side. A lot of people got cross with the doctor because they said, you should have made her stop. But she said, I'm so glad he didn't, because I'm 39 and I would never have been able to finish an Olympic marathon again. I would be too old. And so he said that he was watching her and she was still sweating, so he knew that she could keep on walking. And she was grateful that he did. And apparently, within 20 minutes of her finishing, she was fine because she felt refreshed. She got water thrown over. She had a drink. And she was walking around fine. So it was good that she finished the race. They push their bodies to the limit. And yet, they keep on going because they've learnt how to push through their threshold of pain. That's what marathon runners do. They have endurance. In the same way, we Christians need to endure to the end. It's a tough road out there, but don't give up doing good. Don't give up. We have a prize waiting for us in glory. Don't give up. No matter what the circumstances, hurts will come our way, whether we're on this course or the other. In fact, I think more hurts come your way going down. But the truth is, we on this course can cast all our hurts on our caring, perfect coach who's all already run the course. Jesus has done it. He's done it in person. Let's raise our spiritual threshold of pain, and the Holy Spirit will empower us as we do it. Keep running. It's a race of endurance. Many Christians over the last 2,000 years have been tortured for their faith. Many have been tortured today for their faith. And they have endured it to the very end. And it is this cloud of witnesses that cries out to you, run, 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 come on, get here, don't stop, keep on running, we've done it. You know, young children in primary school like to run everywhere. Many years ago, when I was a teacher walking pre-primary children across the school grounds, I always used to make sure that I led at the front of the line, because if I didn't, the little leaders at the front of the line would tear off as fast as they could, leaving the rest of the class behind. What teachers have noticed that? Yeah. I soon began to realize that whenever young children walked together, inevitably it would become a race. It was really annoying. They were always competing to be first. But by the time the kids get to high school, and I've taught in high school too, the reverse is true. For in any attempt to lead a class of teenagers somewhere, you end up having to lead the line from the back. Because if you don't, you'll have to send out a search party to find the stragglers. The determination to get to the class has long gone. Somewhere between primary and high school, there's been an attitude shift. Don't let this happen in your Christian walk. Remember the excitement you had when you first believed? Be like one of those pre-primary kids. You're really excited. Rekindle that excitement and run with endurance. It's a good race. It's the best race. It's fun being a Christian. I've talked about racing as if it's the worst thing, and some of you are sitting there thinking, oh boy. But really, if you were to ask any of the winning athletes in the Olympics or the Commonwealth Games how they felt about their training and winning, the majority would say they wouldn't have changed it for anything in the world. It was the best experience of their lives. When you run hard and you train hard, it's a fact that your body releases endorphins which give you feelings of euphoria. That's why some people become gym junkies. After a hard 30 to 45 minute session at the gym working the heart rate to 80% capacity, they finish feeling great. It seems that God has made our bodies to enjoy work. In the same way, when you fully run the Christian course, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, fills you, and deposits within you the fruit and gifts of God, which, by the way, are all good. Your spirit will soar with spiritual euphoria as you do the work He's called you to do. Amen, Christians. Being a Christian is great. So let's not be lazy. Let's run the Christian race with, what was the first one? Well done. Number two with, oh, is it up there? Get that off there right now. Okay, right, let's see. Okay, what was number one? Determination. What is number two? Number three. Laying aside every, that's a big word for some of you, isn't it? Encumbrance. And the final one is endurance. Let's finish well. Amen. I visited old Norma in hospital. She's coming up to 92. And Norma's not with us today. She would have loved to have been with us, but she fainted and they thought it was best to take her to the hospital. The nursing home felt it was best. And so I went to visit her yesterday and she was so bright and happy and full of conversation. It was great. And I didn't want to leave her. She had such great, beautiful Christian conversation. She has been a part of the church since she was 12. And she has run the race. And she's run it very, very well. And she's had some hurts and some disappointments in her life. When she was around 18, she was in love with a young man who went off to World War II and he never came back. And I didn't find this out until we were cleaning out this church when we first moved in here, and there was a plaque to two Sunday school teachers, two young men, and I thought, oh, I wonder if Norma knows anything about this. So I took the plaque up to Norma and I said, Norma, do you know anything about this? And she went quiet. And then she said, oh, they were lovely young men. One of those young men I loved. And he went off to World War II and I think he got shot down and he never came back. And she never found anybody else. So she never got married. But she served the Lord all her life. She's loved other people's children. She particularly loves the young families in this church. She loves seeing the babies and holding the babies. She is a woman that has endured. She's got determination. What was the second one? Discipline. I tell you what, she impresses me because she never says a nasty word about anyone. I've never heard her bag anyone. And if the conversation seems to be going that way with someone else, she just goes, and looks down and says no more. I think, wow, what a woman of God. And she hasn't carried sin around with her, and she's enduring to the end with a sparkle, a twinkle in her eyes, I said last week. We all want to be like that, don't we? We've got some beautiful old people in our church who encourage me all the time. Well, let's all do it well. Let's all make sure we finish the race well for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our coach. Lord, you are full of good advice. You are full of love, grace, and mercy. And Lord, we know that when we fall, you pick us up again and set us back on the track. Lord, we thank you. It is a delight to be in your race, but all of us can run better. So, Father, I pray that all of us will have more determination for the race, for the course that you've set before us. And Lord, if there's any here that are carrying sin as they run, I pray that you will show them and that this day they will throw it off and run with a new discipline and a new determination and with endurance. Maybe today, while all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, there are some people here who have listened to me speak this sermon and thought, I'm not even in the Christian race. I don't know what it is like to run the Christian race, but I want to. Maybe today Jesus is speaking to you and he's calling to you to join him in the race of life. Jesus has paid the price for you to enter this race. So I want to encourage you today, as the music is beginning to be played, Jesus is speaking to you, and all you need to do to get onto the course that Jesus has set for you is to say, Jesus, I accept that you died for my sin, and I want to run my race according to how you want me to run. I wanted to do it your way, God. This day, Jesus invites you to come and be with him and do life with him. Please listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks. Today, he calls you. Come and be with me. Come and do life my way. I will coach you. I will love you. I will give you all the grace and mercy that you need. But come and do life my way. Get rid of your sin. Leave it at the cross of Calvary. And come and do my life my way. If you feel that Jesus is speaking to you this day, and you would like to receive him as your Lord and Savior, your coach this day, I want to pray for you. And I encourage you to lift your hand while all eyes are closed and all heads are bowed. Lift your hand so I can pray for you this day so that you can receive Jesus as your Savior. Is there anybody in this place today? Yep, I can see that hand. Yes, yes, I can see that hand. Yes, I can see your hands at the back there. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Because I would really love to pray for you. I feel that my great coach, my Heavenly Father, has given this word for me to speak to you today. Receive him today as your Lord and Savior. Is there anybody else? Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you have spoken very clearly to everybody today. Lord, we all could do with running better for you. But Lord, there are some here that want to receive you as Lord and Savior this day. And so, Father, as they have raised their hands, I pray that, Lord, you will come into their heart this day. That, Lord, they will see you in all your glory, in all your majesty, and see that you have paid the price of sin for them. That, Lord, you died on the cross for them. And this day they will receive you as Lord and Savior as they lift their hands. I really feel that those people who have lifted their hands really need to say a prayer after me. So I'd like everybody to say this prayer to help these people that have lifted their hands. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I see that you died for my sins. You have paid the price for my error, for doing it my way. And Lord, today, I want to do life your way. I receive you as my great coach. I receive you as my Savior. I receive you as my Lord. I want to say sorry for the things I've done wrong in the past. And I want to live my life according to your way, according to your truth. Help me, Lord, to be your disciple. Come into my heart this day, I pray. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for being my coach. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that that prayer that has been prayed will indeed be cemented in people's hearts. That, Lord, this day will be a new day, a new course that you have set for them. And I pray that they will not grow weary, but, Father, you will help them to be disciplined and to grow in you. Father, I pray that you will help them to read your word, the Bible. Lord, I pray that you will help them to pray to you every day. And, Father, I pray that you will help them to fellowship with other saints. Lord, we thank you that you are such a wonderful coach. And you are a good coach. And we give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise for the wonderful word that you have given us this day. And we say thank you, Jesus. And Lord, also we thank you for this food that we're about to eat. Lord, we thank you for the hands that have prepared it. And Father, I pray that you will bless Carmel and her family and Arissa and her family. Lord, I pray that you will bless them abundantly in every way, Lord. I pray good health and prosperity upon their family. Lord, they've got such generous hearts. And Father, I pray that you would just pour out your generosity upon them. And Lord, as we eat this beautiful meal that we're about to have, I pray that our conversation will be sweet and pleasing to you. because you deserve nothing but the best from us. And we're aware, Jesus, that you are at the table. Amen.